I think I'd like to ask Jack Sadler to go next. I'm just saving Dave for the last. I came in last, so he's going last. That's a little bit of, I'm being punitive, you know.
So before I go too far, I think I know how much work goes into organizing one of these sessions, so I was going to ask everybody to join me in thanking Dawn and Joran and Annie and George and Terry. So let's thank these guys for doing that.
Actually, we should not forget Xiaomin, too. I don't know where she is, but she's...
Oh, yes, yeah, Xiaomin. Yeah. I'm sorry. Where are you?
Yeah. And Guillaume. Right, quite right. Yeah. Xiaomin handles the money, that's right. We should be very grateful to her.
So I guess before I go into the more of a Western perspective, I guess my sense with where we're at is that $5 million isn't much money. So I think one of the issues is what's the Canadian advantage? What's the Canadian specific? Because I think my reservation is that just watching it the last couple of days, we're trying to do one heck of a lot with very little money. So my sense is it's a big problem. So I think part of it is how do we focus down? And I think the problem with focusing down is that some people might get upset in terms of how we focus down. So again, if I look at some of the dollars we're talking about, as some of our U.S. colleagues know, in just one of the U.S. centers, such as the Great Lakes or J-Bay, is $25 million a year for one center. And if you look at how focused down they are, so I think if I look at it, again, I think all of the impressions and the quality of the people are great. So I think the problem is it's not as though you can come along and say, well, that person's not so good, because I can see that people are all good. For example, in the area, I got educated with regard to how engines run today. So now I can go back and fix my Volkswagen. But basically, I think what was interesting was hearing about all the work that goes on in engines in Brazil, as an example, which is a leader. So part of it. Again, I don't mean to pick on the engine folks, but maybe we should let the Brazilians do that. But I think some of the issues is how do you decide what to do? I actually just come back from reviewing the Danish renewable energy program. So if I use, without giving away any confidentiality, if I look at the Danish program, they have a target by 2050 of being carbon neutral. This is Dong Energy, which is their utility. I presume anybody who's flown into Denmark will presume that wind is their biggest one, but actually bioenergy is three times bigger than wind. And so bioenergy will be their main renewable energy, with a large amount of that coming from pellets from BC, I found out. So, however, if you look at actually taking all that wheat straw that they have, does wheat straw in terms of combined heat and power, which they're doing, and if any of you have seen the big Imbacom plant, they have a big cellulosic straw to ethanol plant, which I've seen a couple of times. The economics of doing that are terrible, but they're going to do it because the sense is in terms of carbon, in terms of all the advantages for doing it, so they're not doing it on the basis of economics. So if I come back to our Canadian advantage, again, it's probably reflecting my background. We have a substantial forest sector that knows how to reinvent itself, so they know the current model doesn't work. They're all set up for reinventing themselves. They collect biomass. They know how to process biomass, so there's a sector there. We have programs such as the AFC, which Growing the Future, I think, Mark, which is called?
Growing Forward, I think.
Growing Forward.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why I won't let Mark talk about that. But effectively, I think what we've got to do is we've got to build on our Canadian advantages. So if you look at AFC, I use the example of canola because the rest of the world calls it rapeseed. We call it canola because we detoxified the rapeseed. So there's some good old research that was done in Canada in terms of making that oil. So I think... Also, if I was looking at algae, I always think of algae in nice, warm, flat places, not very cold, hilly places. So again, part of where should we be focusing our efforts. So I think really what I was looking at is just as was covered off, we've also got to put ourselves in the reality where we are in Canada, and we're going to have cheap fossil fuels, particularly in the West, for quite some time. And so I think if you look at the reality there just now, where we are, is it's going to be hard on an economic basis to compete with those areas. So how do we position ourselves in terms of what's the reality in Canada as well as what else is going on in the U.S.? So I think if I try and And I guess when I look at the actual program, some issues struck me. For example, the bio conference that several people were at, the big issue there is move much onto what they call the sugar platform. So if you listen to the Dows or the DuPonts, they're going to be making stuff from sugar, not from biomass, mainly because it's easier to make from sugar. But we don't have much in the program for example, for making the sugar. There was nothing on enzyme hydrolysis or anything like that. So part of it is parts of the program have got things missing in them. So I think my main sense is that, first of all, I really appreciate the work that went into pulling it all together. Appreciate the work that went into getting the proposal, because it's always nice to have research money to fund students. But I think the tough time now for us is how do we focus down? How do we make use of the synergies? So this was a great way to get to know people, which is what I think this first meeting was about, Don.
Correct.
So I think getting to know, I'm very impressed by the quality of the people here. I think the tough thing coming up now is how do we focus down? Because I think my own sense is that we're doing too much, or it's kind of like we're 1 centimeter thin and 100 kilometers wide. So how do we focus it down? Anyway, my main point was to encourage anybody from the West to come back and contradict me. I know I've got a couple of my former students here are always contradicting me. So, okay, Sean Mansfield.
A former student, right?
That's what I got no hair.
Yeah. Go ahead, Sean.
No, I just wanted to contradict.
I see.
Okay, thanks.
Understood. Okay. Well, I'm trying to keep notes here and keep things. When you say we're too broad and too shallow and we need to focus, I agree completely. Do you have any thoughts on how we might go about that? I mean, I have thoughts, but I'm curious.
I think you should give all the money to Sean Mansfield. No.
Sean?
No, I think it's tough. I mean, I think with having to do similar things, it's very tough to do. You have to set the criteria. I think one of it is, I think we've got to focus in what's our Canadian advantage. So the idea is there's this huge program that's going in the south. I just came back from Europe. There's a lot going on in Europe. So I think you've got to figure out what do we bring that's value added. I mean, when you're talking about the international collaboration, yeah. I mean, there's no way we should be working on sugarcane, for example, but we're not. But the idea is, what can we do that would complement that? I know you know about the Brazilian effort that's there. Look at, for example, what's the companies we have? If you look at, in terms of gasification, if you look at Enerchem, and we've got other technologies, Ensign, so how do we build on some of the Canadian technologies? There's one example, but unfortunately, I'm not King Solomon.
No. But I just, you know, Jack, I know you're always reviewing things for other countries, so I just thought we'd take advantage of your expertise.
But I guess, Don, I was wondering if anyone else had any insights here.
Yeah, because I'm kind of boring.
Mark,
actually.
You're very quiet. And you're leaving AFC anyway, so you can say anything you like there.
I can say anything at Downwell, please. Yeah.
Somebody being set free. Watch out.
One of the things I think as a challenge to the network generally, and this may sound a bit self-serving, but I'm leaving and I really don't care. And that is, the science capacity inside the federal boundaries is decreasing. You know, Agriculture Canada is shedding, I think by the time they're done, there'll be less than 300 research professionals inside the walls when it's all over. I believe Environment Canada lost, what, 500? Natural Resources Canada is shedding right now. And, I mean, you could get into the political conversation as to why they're shedding scientists and not administration and clerks and all the rest of it, but that's none of my worry anymore. The point to the network is simply this, communications. If you guys can't sort it out, and I'm going to really challenge you on this one, if you can't sort it out so a grade 10 to 12 student can understand what you did, why you did it, and why I should care, you're not going to get it inside the federal wall, inside policy, or implemented or have a life after you're done. That's one of your problems, one of your challenges, but also one of your opportunities. If you can get good at that, you can make it work, and you can make it have a life. In terms of the international side, I know New Zealand wants to talk. They already have arrangements. They want to get further on this. Ag Canada started out in this knowledge-based bioeconomy effort, and I've talked to you about it a bit, Jack, and probably the rest of the network isn't all that aware of it, but it's one of those things where we opened up an avenue because other avenues for international discussion hadn't worked. They were too high in altitude. We want to get down to where grassroots people started getting together, having conversations about collaborations, understanding intellectual property issues and all that, but getting down to where we could actually start linking some activities, sharing some people. I think you have to look for those avenues. And the last challenge I'm going to throw out to the network is this, as an observation. Intellectual property gets raised every now and then, and it's one of your worst enemies, only for a whole lot of reasons that I've lived with and for reasons I've tried to change, but I can't. And that is, everyone worries about IP, IP protection. You've got how many millions of dollars in every one of your institutions involved in an industrial relations activity, and ask yourself what the cost benefit of this has been. It isn't there. Ag Canada, in its best year, spent $4.8 million on intellectual property and got back $4 million. They did it on the guise of freedom to operate, this, that, and everything. It took one political signature and all that was gone in the first place on freedom to operate, let alone anything on technology protection, access, or innovation. It's your worst barrier to innovation, frankly. What you need to set up as a network, as an observation, is a mediation service around intellectual property. And everything goes in the pool, guys and gals. And you bring it, we'll try to improve it, we'll work together. At the end of the day, we'll look where it started, we'll look where it ends, and we'll assign benefits. And if you guys can't do it within your little group, this mediation service will set in and decide it for you. There's always the courts as a last resort. I guarantee you it'll never get there. Why can I guarantee that with a lot of certainty? Ask yourselves, out of how many of these networks has IP ever come out that actually made commercial sense and earned more dollars than it cost to protect? Not very damn much. So unless you're willing to get down to those kinds of brass tacks, get that stuff out of the way, I think you're going to have some issues that are going to be tough to deal with. The very last thing I'm going to comment on is what I said to a few other people. You've done geography. In my experience, you're better off doing it by things where people logically work together. You need more time for the feedstock people to get together, the bio people together, the thermal people to get together. Somehow you got to find a way to bust that part of the geography apart and then share materials, share knowledge. And your challenge will be, if you reorganize that way, is finding the generalists that can cross from the feedstock to the conversion to the analysis to the economics to the policy. But if you can find those people that can cross that, you'll be successful. More successful than you will be. There's a lot of great science in here. I'm impressed. I really am. But I think the other... No, I got one more thing. No, Terry said I could go on a 10-minute rant. You can blame Terry. There's a lot of things going on in areas, and I think it would be worth people's while to look outside their own boxes for a bit and look at some of the things. One that comes to mind is wheat. I heard discussions about what we want to do as wheat as a residue, look at compositional change and so on. The Canadian Wheat Alliance was announced here a month ago. You know, maybe they're involved, maybe they're not, but I never heard it mentioned in any of the conversations. So that's just one example in one small area. Maybe they're linked, but I kind of didn't get that feel, so I wanted to make sure. I'm sure there's others out there like that. You have to look. Flax is another one. I mean, there's opportunity, and flax is a really good one because right now the cost benefit of flax on the ground merits it as a feedstock today. We just haven't been able to get, you know, the companies want to do it. I've got a company wanting to do $60 million, and I was going to help them, and now I'm gone, so I don't. I'll help them a different way maybe. But it is natural fiber where you've got a very high value use, and you've got this 80% of the rest of it. Makes a hell of a lot more sense. Anyway, enough rant.
You should come to BC and work on hemp. We work on hemp in BC.